tonight. A lot of my sermons are expository. In other words, you take a portion of Scripture and you just go through that portion of Scripture. This one is going to be more of a topical thing, so we're going to have more references in it. But I try and not do that too much, because if everybody tries to follow along on all the verses, they get lost. And as you're looking, then you're not paying attention. But you might want to write these down and then pay attention and look them up later. I don't know. But there's a subject that we need to be reminded of sometimes as Christians. And many times on a Sunday night, I try and give you something for Monday and Tuesday and keep you going till Wednesday as we study the Word of God. We're going to start in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. Now this, back towards the back of your Bible, after Timothy and Titus and all those guys, before James, Hebrews chapter 13, verse 5. This is one of the great promises of the Word of God that He has for us. There are many promises in the Bible. And as Christians, many of these promises you can claim. This is an unconditional promise. Many times He says, if you do this, I will do this. Well, this particular promise here in Hebrews 13:5 is not one that has conditions attached to it. It is a promise that He has given for those that are saved. That's the only stipulation that's attached to this, is if you're saved. In Hebrews 13:5, it says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be confident with such things as ye have. Be content with such things as ye have, for He has said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. This is our theme for tonight. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Dear Jesus, we just ask, we open up the Word of God tonight, that You'll let us see through the examples and the wonders of Your Word how many times You've been by Your saints. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, when God says never, He means never. He doesn't mean, well, in case this happens, or if this doesn't happen, as long as you don't do that, or as long as you do this. Many people have put conditions upon their salvation. They have put conditions upon them keeping their salvation. They have put conditions on saying, I can lose my salvation if I do this, or if I don't do this, I can't keep my salvation. Well, Jesus says He will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Two different words here. To leave is to desert. To forsake is to turn your back on someone and say you don't know them. In Hebrews, He says He's proud to call us His brethren. As I studied about this and looked at this, and a devotion got me started on this study, there's many, many, many examples in the Bible where Jesus did not forsake or leave people. One of them that comes to mind is in Psalms 37:25. David, this is one of David's Psalms when he was older, and he'd been around for a long time. In Psalms 37:25, David says, I have been young, and now I am old. Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken. In Psalms 37:25, he says, I've been young, I've been old. And you think of all of the things that David had seen in his life. And he says, I've never seen the righteous forsaken. I've never seen God turn his back upon his people. I've never seen the righteous anywhere forsaken in all of my life. Even in David's sin, God didn't forsake him. Even and when David was out murdering and killing and adultery and all those things, God did not forsake him. God was still there. Now, God was working in his life. But he never did leave him. And the rest of the verse says, nor his seed begging bread. The rest of the verse. Even in famine, God doesn't forsake his own people. He says, I've never seen them begging bread. Now notice it doesn't say steak. Or it says bread. The staple of society. Everybody has some kind of a starch that they use, bread. Everybody has some kind of a bread, whether it's flat, fluffy, or from a root, or from a seed. Every nation, everybody around the world has some kind of a bread that they make, that they eat. We are sometimes we look at what's happening in our world and what's happening in the recession and all of those things, and the price of bread is going up. The price of milk's going up. All these things. But God said he's never seen his righteous. The righteous begging for bread. And he says, I've never seen them forsaken, David said. And all of the kingdom of Israel, as he was king, he says he hasn't seen that happen. As a little boy when he was watching the sheep. As a little boy when he faced the lion and the bear. As a little boy when he faced Goliath. As a young man, as a young teenager, as he went out to battle, he never saw the righteous forsaken for bread. I was thinking about in 2 Kings chapter 6, when Elisha's God prophet, was being surrounded by the enemies. And God is always there, and he doesn't forsake you even in battle. In 2 Kings chapter 6, they were surrounded. And the servant of Elisha came out and says, hey, master, what are we going to do? What are we going to do? We're surrounded here. And he said, and he answered, fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elijah prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open up his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. God sent his angels down to watch and protect and watch over him. There's going to be people against us. And it's going to look like there's no hope. But don't ever forget that there's more help in you than the enemy has. In 1 John 4:4, ye are of God, little children, and have overcome them, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. He will not forsake you. He will never leave thee. He will never desert you, because he's in your heart. In John chapter 10, when he talks about being the shepherd, and we are the sheep. In John chapter 10, no one is able to separate you, those that follow Jesus. No one is able to separate you from Jesus. In John 10:27, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. No one is able to separate you from the love of God, as it says in Romans chapter 8. There is no way that God can be separated from you as a Christian. There's no way that he can forsake you, because he said never. 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 in John chapter 11 at the tomb of Lazarus when he had died as he talked to Mary and Martha. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth on me, though were dead, yet he shall live. Even death cannot separate you from God. Whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this? Mary and Martha were hurt. Mary and Martha were upset. Their brother was gone. Well, I know he's coming back in the resurrection. But even in death, they were not separated from Jesus. Even death cannot separate you from Jesus. Never die. There is never a time in a Christian's life that they will ever, 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 ever be separated from Jesus. In a Christian's life, there is never a time that you'll be separated from Jesus, even at death. Because what Paul said, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. That you can never, never be separated, even in death. Even in death. We need to hang on to this. This needs to be real in our life. In John chapter 14, in the Gospel of John chapter 14, when he was in the upper room with his disciples, before he went to the Garden of Gethsemane, before he was arrested, right after the Last Supper that they had done there with the disciples. And in John chapter 14, he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that there where I am, there you may be also. Even in heaven, even through the cross, even through the tomb, Jesus cannot be separated from his people, and Jesus wants you to be with him. Jesus wants you to be with him. You know, sometimes you might need a little space from your spouse or from your brothers or sisters or from somebody. But listen, Jesus never thinks that. Jesus wants you to be with him. And he's going to come back and make sure we're there. In John chapter 17, he even prays about that. Even at death, in John, in the 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, where it talks about the rapture, and Jesus said he's going to come back and get us. And he said, and after that, he says, so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. His goal is for us to be with him forever. Jesus wants you to be with him. Jesus went to the cross so you can be with him. Jesus went to prepare a place for you on the cross and in heaven. And he's going to come back and take you so you can get there even though you don't know the path. Jesus says, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. As I was thinking about this, I was thinking about in Acts chapter 7, when Stephen was being stoned to death for preaching. Acts 7:55. Stephen was preaching to them. They got so mad at his preaching that they ran up on him and bit him with their teeth. They got so mad at his preaching. They couldn't handle it. They stopped their ears and they ran upon him. Then they took him outside the city and started stoning him to death. Acts chapter 7. But Jesus was there. When they were stoning him to death, in Acts 7:55, but he, being full of the Holy Ghost, looked up steadfast into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God. Even in death, even as he was laying down his life for the gospel and preaching, the first martyr, as he's called, of the New Testament, as that went in, through his life,
Jesus was there to guide him, to meet him. I was thinking of Lazarus and the rich man in Luke chapter 16 when they died. And it says, and the angels carried him into Abraham's bosom. Even at death, they came there and met him and took him. As Elijah went up to heaven in the fiery chariot, God met him there. As Enoch walked with the Lord, and then he was found no more, God was with him there. As Noah was in the ark, and the waters were coming and the floods were coming, and he was in that ark for all of those days, hundreds of days he was in that ark, waiting for the water to subside and the rains and all the things that came down. God was there with Noah and his family in that ark. God shut the door on the ark. God put Noah in there. God sealed him. God was with Noah during that time. When Abraham went down into Egypt and rebelled against God and went down there because he didn't trust God, God brought him out of Egypt by a strong hand. And he went back to Bethel. As Moses stood before Pharaoh and laid out the rod and it turned to a serpent, God was there with Moses. As Joshua sat at the walls of Jericho and all the battles that Joshua fought, God was there with Joshua. Right there beside him all the time. They're helping him. As before he went into battle, Joshua saw the angel of the Lord and he says, I'm with you. And he had his sword there to help him. As Jacob wrestled with the angel of the Lord all that night and God changed his name to Israel, God was there with him as he got his heart right with God. Never leave thee, never forsake thee. In the 23rd Psalm, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff comfort me. Even in the darkest times of your life, Jesus is there. Remember when the three Hebrew children were in the fiery furnace, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, and they were put down in the fiery furnace so they wouldn't bow down and worship the idol that the king had made. And the king looked down into the fire. And the answer said, lo, I see four men loose, walking in the midst of the fire. They have no hurt. The form of the fourth is like the Son of God. While the Hebrew children were walking through the fiery furnace. You look at that in Daniel chapter 3. They says, our God is able to deliver us. I don't know if He will. But no matter what, I will not bow down to your idol. Made the king furious. He heated the furnace seven times hotter. The people that threw him into the furnace died. But they come out of there not even having the smell of smoke on their clothes. But there was four people in there. They only put in three. Why? Because Jesus was with them. Jesus was with them. When Jesus was on the cross, during the 3 hours of darkness, and when he come out of that darkness, he cried out to God to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? God forsook Jesus. God turned his back on Jesus during that time on the cross because he became sin for us. The curse of sin is separation from God. Jesus had to pay that curse on the cross. That is the only time in eternity that God the Father and God the Son were ever separated. The only time in eternity. And that was so we would never be forsaken. Jesus, I doubt if any of you have ever been totally, completely isolated from anybody, anywhere, anytime. No sounds, no human contact of any kind at all with any form. No pictures, no communication, no voices, nothing. Totally, totally, totally isolated. Do you remember when they first started the space program? They was contemplating how long it was going to take to travel through space. And did all these experiments with people. They put them down in caves or down the bottom of the ocean and surrounded them and where they was completely, completely isolated to see how long they could live like that before it drove them crazy. In hell, there is total isolation. The only thing you hear in hell is the moanings and groanings and the wailings of the tortures in hell. There is no seeing any other human being. Because there's darkness. There's no sight. There's no seeing anyone. You're isolated alone by yourself with just your thoughts. As the thoughts run through your mind of when you heard the gospel, when you refused the gospel, when you got that track, or when somebody tried to talk, whatever. Those things go through the minds forever and ever and ever and ever. That is one of the greatest curses of hell, is separation. Separation from God, and separation from any peace, separation from any comfort, separation from any rest. You know what it is when you don't get sleep and you don't get rest and you've gone for a couple of days or whatever it is. 2 or 3 days sometimes. You can't think anymore. Your mind starts seeing things. All kinds of stuff happens. Christianity is the only belief that promises you will never be separated from God. There is nowhere else that you can find that promise that you will never, ever be separated from God. That is a blessing beyond our comprehension. To know that we'll never be separated from God. You know why? Because sometimes we separate ourselves from God as Christians. Sometimes we turn our back on God. Sometimes we forget about God. Sometimes we forsake God. And we have a habit of trying to put God in the same plane or same category as we are. We forget how magnificent and holy He is. You know the old, what they call the silent treatment? Sometimes that hurts, huh? How does God feel when we give Him the silent treatment? Maybe not because we're mad at Him. We just forgot. Our grandson just had a birthday Thursday. And his great-grandma up in Illinois, he says, I didn't get a birthday card from her. She forgot my birthday. And he was all hurt. He's only seen her 2 or 3 times. He was all hurt. But he didn't know there was one at the house. They hadn't gotten the mail, and it was there. But he was hurt because he thought somebody forgot. You that are married, have you ever forgot an anniversary? Once. Most of the time it's only once. One time we both forgot it. That didn't make me feel so bad that way. But God never wants to be forgotten. God promised He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee. So why do we treat someone that loves us so cruelly? Sin. Sin. There should never be a time that we forget God. Even in the darkest of times in our life, that's when the light of God can shine the brightest. The darker the sky, the more stars you can see. When there's a full moon, you can't see that many stars. When your life is the darkest, that's when Jesus can be the brightest. When the valley's the deepest, that's when He's there to comfort you. When the fire is the hottest, that's when He walks beside you. When the water is the deepest, He's there holding you up. Why? Because He promised He'd never leave thee nor forsake thee. Because He loves you. Because He lives in your soul. Because He's part of you. He can never be amputated. He can never be taken out. He can never be removed once you're saved. There's never any going back with God. When you think about, you read the 22nd Psalm, and you'll see how Jesus felt on the cross. He says, I'm lower. I'm to the dust of death. I am a worm. I am no man. I am nothing. He did that so you could be somebody. He did that so you could be a child of the King. He did that so you could be joint heirs with Him. He did that so someday you'll have a mansion in heaven. He did that so someday you'll walk the streets of gold. He'll do that as we sing the song, as your feet are in the river of living water. He did those things because He loves you. And He wants you to be with Him. It should break our heart when we're out of fellowship with Jesus. It should. And what's He sacrifices, He says? A broken and contrite heart. This world's going to be mean, wicked, and evil, and it's not nice. But Jesus loves you. And Jesus will never leave thee nor forsake thee. In the middle of the night when you can't sleep, in the loneliness of the day, when you're in a crowded mall or people and you're all alone, Jesus is with you. He's always there. Just talk to Him. Now stand to our feet and have a time of prayer. Dear Jesus, we ask that we'll keep these assurances in our hearts, that we'll cherish them dearly, and that we'll never forsake Thee. And as always, God, if there's someone here that's not saved, that today will be their day. But God, as Christians, let us keep our eyes on You. Let us stay in Your light as we walk through this dark world. We ask this in the name of Jesus. Well, Mary began.